You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_dadam. Well, we got some news and notes to go through today. The owner's meeting has been going down, so we heard some comments from Brian Gutekunst. We've got some new rules, because that's become a much bigger thing recently, which is that there is this need to do major changes every single year, at least under the guise. I shouldn't say under the guise. I think the intention actually is player safety. Whether or not they actually accomplish that or just blindly charge ahead with, you know, surface level thinking, whatever. You know what? Let's start there. I was going to get into some other stuff, but we're already there. Let's just do it. Now, I have given this speech 1,000 times on this podcast. The inability of human beings to see unintended consequences is staggering to me. The idea that if we just remove this thing, that all the problems will go away, I just don't see it. And I think we've come to a pretty good proof of that. The hip drop tackle. Now, we've already got into a situation where now, you know, this is going to be a disaster because, first of all, the hip drop tackles are still going to happen because it's, from what I can see, aside from part of the fact that it was taught, which we'll get there, it's a pretty natural action, right? I mean, sometimes the way that you attack a person, just based on the way that your body is moving and the way, you know, physics works, if you grab onto a person, you're going to swing around and you're going to end up bringing them down, and that is going to end up being a tackle. There are also just ways where you look at it and say, you know, there were several examples of, you know, what were you supposed to do? And I see, you know, Christian Watson's dad out there defending it, saying, well, they're professional football players. They know what to do. And like, no, I'm sorry. That's not how that works. The bottom line is there are many times, especially when you're trying to get somebody from behind, where you have three options. One, hip drop tackle, which is, you know, catch up to them, grab onto them, and then drop your weight. Two is suplex them, which is grab them, stop both of your momentum and pull backwards and throw them over your shoulder. That's also a penalty. Or three, grab them from behind and try to drive through them, which essentially is not going to do anything because they're already running in that direction. So you would just be pulling them. I don't really know what a third option is. Now, I guess it's not technically a hip drop tackle if I grab you and just drop my weight. Like, I'm not dropping my hip around to the side, but I'm still like grabbing you and falling down. I don't know. I don't know how this is, but the bottom line is there are going to be situations where you just are not allowed to legally tackle somebody, and that more or less means from behind. I don't know how you tackle somebody from behind. If you can't drop your weight and you can't, you know, fling them backwards, I mean, I guess you stop them and just try to stop their momentum and hope that the ref blows the whistle. I don't know. But beyond that, do we understand where the hip drop tackle comes from? The hip drop tackle comes from coaches trying to teach people how to tackle now that tackling has been taken away in the name of player safety. A safety issue was created by the NFL, not intentionally, accidentally, by trying to remove other kinds of tackling. This is exactly what I've been trying to say. You're creating new problems. There are unintended consequences that make things worse. Not only is the game worse, but you have not fixed the problem. You've just created new problems in its place. So, you know, again, if we go back to the days when people are still coming flying in like a missile and sort of, you know, leading with the head or whatever the case may be, rather than just driving through somebody, we grab them, we wrap around, we drop our weight. To suggest that we shouldn't take this away would have been met with just disdain. How dare you? Something must be done. Look at the injuries, et cetera, et cetera. We have to remove it because it's a bad thing. The problem is, it's possible that you remove it and you didn't actually fix the problem. Nobody is advocating for concussions or, you know, injured necks or broken shoulders or whatever. That's not the argument. The question is, if you're going to completely overhaul the NFL and make it something that is unrecognizable, are you sure it's even going to achieve what you think it's going to achieve? And of course, at the time, the answer would have been, well, of course it is. I mean, how could injuries not go down if you remove this? Just because you can't see how it's going to be bad doesn't mean it's not going to be bad. And like I said, this happens all over the place. This is just the way it goes. You cannot just remove something and expect the problem to be fixed. I constantly bring up politics because that's the place where it's most obvious. Here's a problem. Let's just remove it. We'll make it illegal. We'll do this and it'll just fix everything. We'll create a law. It'll fix everything, right? War on drugs. That'll fix it. Yeah, right. Well, how could it not? It doesn't matter what it is, but it doesn't even have to be politics. Look at weight loss. Well, what's the problem with the weight? Well, you eat too much. Okay, so if you eat less, will you lose more weight? Yes. So the less you eat, the better, right? Take food away. What's the problem with restrictive diets? They have a very high failure rate because people end up starving. Your body releases more chemicals that make you even more hungry, and it suppresses your ability to fight the cravings. And so you're going to fail the diet more than likely. It's an unintended consequence. As this goes down, this goes up. It's like trying to pull a beach ball under the swimming pool. There is now a force pulling up that wasn't there before that you didn't account for. There's a new force that's been created by you pushing it under the water. And so we remove this, and guess what? Do we think it's actually... Listen, here's the problem. You're trying to take the physicality out of physicality. I don't know that that's possible. Here's the other question I had, just from... And call it shower thoughts. Let's get philosophical with it. It's kind of where we already were, but I've mentioned before that the XFL and AFL and all that, it's never going to work. I think it's completely stupid. Anybody that's going to pump millions or billions of dollars into something like the XFL, it's not going to work. The reason it's not going to work is because what people like isn't football. What NFL fans like is the NFL. And college football is a great example of that. There are people who like college football. There are people who like the NFL, and they're not necessarily the same people. Some people are big into college, especially like in the South, and they're not big NFL people. Some people, like me, are big NFL people that just can't get into college. Why? They're both football. Because it's not just football, right? That's why none of us are watching the CFL. That's why other leagues have failed. We care about the teams and the players and whatnot. Like it's the Packers that I root for. That's what I care about. And so as a result, the NFL has been able to do things to the game to make it less palatable, knowing that we're not going anywhere. And I you know, maybe it's not quite so deviant, but it feels to me as though their plan is to make it as appealing as possible to people that just don't like football, knowing that they can ruin the game and we're not going anywhere because we're hooked. My question becomes, at what point does that change? Is there a tipping point? Because again, we love football, but we'd have to really get down to the core of what it is we love, because at some point it becomes so different from the game that we love that we don't love it anymore, right? I mean, if we just take it to the far extremes, if there was, well, let's just say the Pro Bowl. What if it was like the Pro Bowl? Would we watch it? We know the answer is no. So if it was like flag football, you still kept the teams and whatnot, we probably still wouldn't like it, right? I don't know if I would watch it anymore. So there's a line somewhere. We know that there is. There's a line where if the NFL were to cross it, we wouldn't watch it anymore. I'm a little concerned that the NFL is running so fast in the direction of changing it to make it more palatable to a public that doesn't like violence and everything else, which, again, I don't think this is necessarily about protecting the players. They have instances where they can do that, and they don't. But they seem to want to make it less traumatizing to the viewer and to the paying advertisers who don't want to give the NFL money when guys are laying unconscious on the football field. At what point do they change the game so drastically that the appeal just starts to go away? And part of the issue that we have is we're proving them right every year. And I understand there's people who love, like, when the numbers go up, because we're going to, like, you know, that small contingent of people that there's like 40 people that gave up the NFL when Colin Kaepernick took a knee. Every year the numbers go up, and every year the, you know, a certain faction of people got to, like, rub it in those people's faces who are not even here anymore, so they don't realize it. But it's like, oh, I thought you weren't going to watch anymore. The problem with that is it's hurting all of us. It's not really something to celebrate because the NFL is being proved right. The audience is growing. Now, that could just be population growth, I suppose, but it seems a little bit more drastic than that. It seems as though changing the game away from what we love and towards something that people that don't love football would be more accepting of is working, and the NFL is being rewarded. The advertisers like it. There's a growing market out there of people that seem to be more okay with it and are watching, and the only thing that they have to do to keep that going is keep changing the game away from what we want it to be. And then the numbers go up and we all cheer. Yay, numbers are up. Ha ha, losers that left. Okay. At some point, if they don't get their hand slapped and realize that you're making it worse and people don't like it, they're not going to stop changing it. Now, I'm not suggesting we stop watching. I'm not going to stop watching, but I don't know what the solution is. Now, let's get to the next part. Because the hip drop tackle wasn't the only thing that happened. There was also a kickoff change. And the trade deadline's a week later. I don't freaking care. There's a kickoff change. Now, interestingly enough, the Packers, Raiders, and like one other team actually voted against it. Everybody else was for it. It'll be interesting to get some insight from the Packers as to why. I like to think from a romanticized view that despite the fact that we have a great special teams coach and one of the few good kick returners in football, they still didn't want to make the change that would benefit us for the sake of the game. You know, that's probably not the reason, but I like to believe that it's like the Packers are holding the line on keeping the game pure. But it's interesting because I don't hate it. In fact, I kind of like it. Now, I don't like when the NFL changes things, especially something so aesthetically drastic, right? I mean, changing of a tackling rule, you don't really notice. I mean, you might start to notice guys seem to be tackling differently, but it's still football. Nothing really changes. When guys line up all different, it's going to be weird. That's going to be, you know, I mean, there's a lot of history that's just going in the garbage can all of a sudden. Like, we'll never see the old kickoffs again, and that's kind of sad or whatever, and there's some element to that. But at the same time, you look at it, and it's like, I kind of like it. And the biggest reason I kind of like it is because it's going to bring back what I love. Now, to be fair, all the NFL is really doing is fixing or trying to fix a problem that they broke anyways. They made kickoffs go away, which is what they wanted. They wanted kickoffs to go away because of the injuries, because of the collisions, because guys were getting laid out on the field all the time and they didn't like it. And sure, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it's for the players, whatever. But it's actually interesting because I think there might be something here. What if you gave the fans more of what they want while still accomplishing the goal that you want, which is less injuries? So we're getting more, you're incentivizing kickoffs. We want you to return kicks now, but we also want less injuries. I think it's brilliant. And there was apparently one guy that came up with this and he had to fight for it, kicking and screaming. The NFL didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. And finally, it's come through. But I think, I don't know how this works in every instance, but I think this is the formula. How do we give people what they want, even more of what they want, while also getting what we want, which is like reduced injuries? I mean, if this works, and we'll see how it all plays out, and I don't know why it wouldn't. I saw recently, and we'll dig into it a little bit more, but with the rules in place at the whatever place, the AFL or whatever is using them, CFL, XFL, I don't care, wherever this came from, they have a like 90% return rate. Because if you're the returner and you don't return it, you're penalized. If you're the kicker and you kick it through the end zone, you're penalized. So everybody, so you want to kick it to the returner and the returner wants to return it. So we're going to go from presumably less than 40% kick returns to more than 90% kick returns. That's awesome. I miss it so much. I want the kick returns. I need it. Now we're going to start caring more. Kick returners are going to be more valuable. We're going to start seeing like really good kick returners. We're going to see like game breaking, like opening kickoff kick returns, game winning kick. Like that's such a critical part of the game that was taken from us because of these stupid penalty things. And they're giving it back, but it's a great compromise. Now, again, I don't know how this works down the line, but we got to do a better job of being, you know, creative in our thinking like this. Rather than just saying, there's something bad, just take it away. That's bad, take it away. Number one, you're not actually fixing anything. Number two, it's such a lazy freaking way of thinking. What can we actually do to not take these things away while preserving the health? Now, tackling is going to be tough because, again, I don't know how you can encourage. Well, I do know how you can fix it, but it's never going to happen. You take the pads and the helmets away. The violence will be there. The injuries will plummet. I know that because there is a league right now that has that, and it's for the sake of safety, and it works. They're nowhere near the concussions, broken bones, nothing. You know why? Because when you have pads, you feel invincible. Nothing hurts. And so that's when you have people running 100 miles an hour into people because it doesn't hurt. But the problem is, despite the fact that it doesn't hurt on a contact basis, you're still getting massive concussions. Because even if the top of your head doesn't necessarily hurt because you got such good padding, your brain is still smashing into your skull, causing a concussion. Even though the contact might not hurt your shoulder, the force from you running as fast as you can and this person running as fast as they can has dislocated your shoulder from your body. And that's going to hurt a lot. So if you actually want the violence to stay in the game but the injuries to plummet, take the pads away. Or at least make them less paddy. Like, I still want the uniforms and everything. It looks cool, but make the pads a lot smaller, less effective, and get some helmets that have very little padding so that it hurts. You know, I want to see guys out there, like, headbutting each other and be like, bro, chill. That freaking hurt my head. Because guys will not lead with their head anymore. But you know what? Again, I forget what it's called. It was several years ago when I saw it, but there's a league out there that has that. There's no pads in it whatsoever. You watch those hits, it looks even more violent. Because you're not just seeing these robots and pads. These are human beings running at full speed, smacking into you. And you're like, oh, geez, that's got to hurt. The pads kind of take something away a little bit when, you know, you see that. When you see no pads and a guy just laying somebody out, it's like, geez. So that would fix it, but the NFL's never going to do that. But the point is, I would love it if the NFL would approach it from that standpoint. Rather than saying, this thing's bad, just take it away. How about we look at it and say, no, the fans love it. The players, by the way, are against this hip drop ban, which is hilarious to me. You would think if it was a genuine safety concern, the players would be against it too. Like with the field conditions. The players don't want to play on artificial turf. NFL's like, screw you, I don't care. When it comes to the hip drop tackle, I've seen very little support. The actual players association is like, no, we don't like this, we don't want this, please don't try to save us. And they're like, no, you don't know what you're talking about, you need saving, shut up. You're just too stupid to know it. So again, I don't know what the solution is, but let's try to think of stuff. Let's try to be creative. Let's try to make the game more exciting and more safe at the same time. And as much as that sounds like pie in the sky, we might have just done it with kickoffs. There's going to be more kickoffs and maybe less injuries. I'm not entirely sure. We're certainly going to have less people running full speed. So you would presume that there's going to be less injuries, but we have to see. These things are going to change. I think one of the things that's going to change that could potentially lead to more injuries is, I think instead of seeing like really tiny, fast, psychotic wide receivers with no regard for their well-being, you're going to see bigger bodies out there. I'm even speculating. We'll get into this in the next part here. I'm wondering if we're going to see some like offensive linemen and like defensive line edge rushers out there. Tell you what. Let's take a break. I want to dive into this new kickoff rule and some of the speculation and how things might change. And I'm actually really excited about it. I hate that I'm excited about it because I'm such a curmudgeon. I feel like I should hate this because they're changing the game. But they're changing it in ways that are kind of exciting. And I'm looking forward to it. So let's take a break. I want to delve into this new kickoff rule, what exactly it is, some of the ways that it's probably going to change. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
All right, so it was the XFL that originally came up with this. It looks like Sam Schwartzstein is the primary driver of this. He had a team of people that came up with this, but says it was created, tested, and developed over 2 years before they actually put it in a live game. And again, this is what I'm talking about. 2 years of development to figure out how do we make it safer, but also make it awesome. And this is the benefit. I trash like the XFL and the USFL and all that stuff, UPFL or whatever, because I don't think it's going to work. But I wish it would. I want it to work. The reason I want it to work is because they are forward thinking and they are going to push things and do things that the NFL refuses to do because it's just archaic. And it's not because they're unwilling to change for the sake of the game. And if that was the case, fine. I'm all for that. They're more than willing to change everything. They're just being lazy when it comes to updates that would actually make the game better. I mean, look at what Amazon did. It might not have been a perfect product, but the fact that Amazon was like, hey, would you mind if we use some of your data and just like make the game awesome? And they just went and did it. The NFL has the data. They could do it. They didn't do it. But, you know, how do we do this to make it safer and awesome? I don't know, man. Take 2 years, build a team, put together a staff where that is your job. Everything you take away for the sake of safety, you have to add. You're not allowed to make changes that just take away things without, you know, giving the people what they want. You can't just keep taking things away and say, well, that'll fix it. Just this simple-minded, like, well, you know, the hip drop tackle. You think this took 2 years to formulate their idea? No, it's a very simple thing where they saw an uptick in injuries due to a certain kind of tackling based on an issue that they created. And just on a whim, they said, let's just ban it. I don't like it. Let's ban it. Can't do it anymore. Ban it. I mean, these people are brain dead morons. Every time they see something, ban it. Just ban it. Tush push. Don't like it. Ban it. Just ban it. What do you mean ban it? How are you going to ban it? I don't know. Ban it. Just ban it. Hey, that guy hit with his head. I don't like that. Ban it. What should we do about this? It's causing some injuries. Like kickoffs. Ban it. Just ban kickoffs. Just ban it. You're an idiot. You're a freaking moron. Anyways, 2 years of testing and development before they ever put it in a live game. I know I've already done this, and I want to move on, but I'm freaking annoyed here. First things first, they're moving the kickoff from the 40 back to the 35. If you recall, the NFL pushed it to the 40. Do you remember why they moved it to the 40? Well, this was their attempt at player safety, but what's the what how does that help things? Essentially, they're trying to take the kickoff away. They wanted the kickoff to be ceremonial. Their solution to the problem was take kickoffs away. That just ticks me off so much. They had the opportunity to implement this. This option was on the table. They could have come up with this or some variant of this. They didn't. They didn't even try. They decided that kickoffs were dangerous, and then they essentially had two options. Should we just start with the ball on the 20 or 25? Or should we keep this sort of ceremonial kickoff nonsense, but really we're going to massively... And they thought that the fact that kickoffs were reduced to below 40%, that was some kind of a win for the NFL. We did it, guys. We reduced kickoffs, therefore reducing injuries. You bunch of frickin' jag-offs. And this is the problem. I swear we're going to move on. This is the problem. The NFL's goal is to keep taking football away from us little by little by little and hoping that eventually we'll get to a point where the game is safe. And here's the problem. It's never going to get there. It's never going to be safe. So at some point, the NFL is just going to have to accept injuries and move on. And if they're not willing to do that, we're going to lose football. The only other option is to find people that actually give a crap enough to come up with things like this. How can we make the game still awesome, but find little ways to reduce injuries? Like, you know, for example, field conditions. That's one we know that we could just fix pretty quick, but the NFL doesn't feel like doing it. I mean, just maybe they already have it, but if they do, they should all be fired. Why don't you just create a safety committee? Now, the fear that I have of the safety committee is they're going to be made of a bunch of morons who are just, their number one goal is to just take football away. That's not what I want. I want a committee with a directive that says you cannot implement a rule that doesn't seek to at least keep the game as dope as it was. And that's how I want it written. If you want to make it better, awesome. Like the kickoffs being 90, that's probably higher than it's ever been. We'll see. I don't know. More tackling, more hitting, more safe. Great. How about this? You have to, you figure out how to quantify it. You have to make the game as much more awesome as it is safe. So if you found a way to make the game 10% more safe, that's awesome. How are you going to make it 10% more awesome? You can't? Well, then we're not implementing the rule. Back to the drawing board. All right, sorry. Okay, so we've got kickoff from their own 35 instead of the 40. So that's going to make sure that the balls are kicked out of the end zone less. The kicking team, 10 players line up on the receiving team's 40-yard line. So they're already on that side of the yard line. They're on the 40-yard line, and they're 25 yards ahead of where the kicker is. On the receiving team side, it says a minimum of 9 players are between their own 30 and 35. So they're 5 to 10 yards away from where the kicking team is lined up. They're like nose to nose. They can have 0, 1, or 2 players inside their 20-yard line to receive the kickoff. So right away, the gears start turning, like different strategies that you can do, right? Because this is kind of a whole new deal, and this is what makes it exciting. What kind of new and innovative and creative things are people going to come up with? You can have 0, 1, or 2 players inside the 20-yard line. And then it says, start of play. The play is live when the ball is either caught, touches the ground inside the designated landing zone, which is between the 20-yard line and the goal line, or is returned out of the end zone. Once that happens, players can run freely. So the blockers and the kicking team units, they don't move, aside from the kicker, until the ball is touched, either by the ground or by the kick returner. And it says, any kickoff that lands in the designated landing zone must be returned by the receiving team. So if it touches in there, there's no like, oh, I'm just going to leave it. No, you got to get it. Now, I mean, that was true of kickoffs before. There is no, it's not like punts where you can just let the kicking team come and down it. Now, the handful of potential drawbacks, number one is onside kicks, right? The concern is, well, onside kicks are basically dead, and that's true. Or I should say surprise onside kicks are basically dead. Here's the thing. Number one, they almost never happen. Number two, they're almost never, never, never successful. So I'm very sorry to the surprise onside kickers. If you want to go onside, you're just going to have to declare it. The other one, and maybe this isn't true, but the fumble recovery by the other team. Presumably that is going to be much lower because the kick returner for crying out loud is not going to be catching it as somebody is standing there. So even if they muff the punt, by the time he drops the ball, the kickoff team is just starting to move. So he'll be able to pick it up uncontested. Here's the thing. I don't give a crap. I don't like that. I don't like the stress of having a bunch of defenders around you when you drop the ball and everything. I don't want that. I want kickoffs. I want actual kickoffs. And if you muff the punt, it doesn't matter. Or the kickoff. It doesn't matter. Because you can just pick it up and run. It just doesn't matter. And to not have to stress about that is going to be great. I think we should find out a way to make that happen for punts. We should do the same thing for punts. It's so freaking stressful. And I understand once in a while it goes in our favor. But for every time it goes in our favor, there are 700 punts that we have to receive that I'm having a heart attack about. I don't enjoy that. That's not a critical part of the game that I think needs to stay in there. It's an awful part of the game in which the team that doesn't deserve the ball, you know, they suck and now they have to punt, gets another shot because one guy made a mistake. I don't like it. I think it's stupid. I think the team that did a good job should be rewarded by getting the ball. Yes, you can still fumble and it gets recovered, whatever, but it's just, I don't know. I'm very excited that that's really just not a thing. Now, to take that a step further, Eric Galco, who was a part of this rule change, he was a part of that team, put together a thread on Twitter X. It says, there's some major scouting slash roster building dynamics that many may not realize. So I want to go through these real quick because there's a lot of things that are going to change about the construction, not just the way that it happens, but based on how you play now, the types of players and whatnot change drastically. Number one, overall play designs. The kickoff play isn't going to be run like a previous kickoff. There'll be less value on collisions, quickness, and explosiveness. So the collision thing seems nonsense. Like it's not like an important aspect, right? Who cares about collisions? Well, it does matter because I've talked about how special teamers are guys that have no regard for their well-being. I'm blanking on the guy's name now. We had him on special teams. I don't know. But the guy was just a psychopath, and it's like that's a special teamer. That's not really a thing anymore. There's no more scouting for guys that have no regard for their well-being. Now, if you still want that for a linebacker or something, okay, fine. But that's just not a thing anymore. Now you're looking for more just fundamental tacklers because honestly, when you watch videos of this, it looks, and we'll get to that, it looks just kind of like a normal NFL play. It looks like a normal run play. And then it also goes down quickness and explosiveness, which again makes sense because it's not about getting down the field as fast as you can. Now, speed is not going to be a terrible asset, but it's nowhere near like having, you know, well, you still have it in punting, punt gunners, which again, that may also, I can't imagine punting isn't going to change drastically when you watch. I mean, it's going to take one punt returner not calling a fair catch and getting laid out on the field for this to change for punting too. But you think about gunners, right? The whole thing with them is you just got to be really fast, get down the field so that you're there when the ball gets there. Anyways, it goes on to say, instead, it'll likely be more closely analogous to a spaced out run play, which again, go watch these things happen. They do look like run plays. You might even see special teams coaches develop into man versus zone type of distinctions. You'll see players pull, players like power duo, now on kickoff return, which is super exciting. You're going to have like designed run plays on special teams. I think it's going to be much more strategic. You're going to see some creative blocking schemes, which again, why I don't think it's going to be unlikely to see even offensive linemen and some bigger tight ends out there. Because when you look at this new kickoff, the kick return unit, the blockers, they have to drop maybe 5 yards. You're telling me a athletic offensive tackle can't run 5 yards, turn and block? Now, there is quite a bit of space there, so maybe they're not able to do it, but I don't know. This will lead to a higher value on tight end fullback type run blocking value on return and linebacker safety block shedding value on kickoff. Should help athlete tight ends who can block, like Tip Reman, and undersized linebackers and big safeties like Tyler Owens be even more valuable now. Number two, returner evaluation. Similar to above, returner value will be less about top-end speed and burst and more about vision and reacting. In short, more running back attacking the hole type will be more valuable than versus, quote, receivers navigating in the open field types. We at the XFL saw the teams with the most success had decisive one-cut players rather than their fastest guys back there. Now, for a team that we've all been speculating might be looking at running backs, we now have every reason to believe that running backs are now very, potentially very valuable as far as kick returners. Now, here's the negative. Is it possible, and I'm not saying that this is the case, is it possible that our very good kick returner is not necessarily a very good kick returner anymore? Because this is not the same game with the same kind of spacing and everything else. This is not navigating the open field. This is more running back type of stuff. I wonder if somebody like Emmanuel Wilson could actually win the job away based on his abilities, or possibly somebody we draft. Maybe we just put our running back in there and have a great kick returner in Josh Jacobs. It says, don't be surprised if we see more running backs or those with running back backgrounds get more opportunities as returners, and for those returners to be a bit based on which kick scheme the team runs, man versus zone. So similar to an offense, we're now very likely going to have different types of kick returners based on what type of special teams scheme you run. Which, listen, I genuinely think this has the potential, at least, to get us more interested in special teams. There's always been some levels of scheme and stuff, but we never really knew what it was, didn't really fully understand it. I think this could bring at least kickoffs into the realm of offense and defense, where we start to delve into scheme. We start to look at, you know, the different positions and who excels in those positions. We could be going into the draft saying this guy would be a really good friggin' right tackle on special teams, or, you know, whatever the titles are called. Be a good flank gunner. I don't friggin' know. It says we could even see bigger athletic running backs like Isaac Garendo be not only potential returners, but coveted options. So again, we're looking at draft prospects and saying, hey, these guys kind of more so fit the mold of where the NFL is heading with kick returns and kickoffs and whatnot, as opposed to where it used to be. Number three, roster construction. For the last 5+ years, a quote, core special teamer primarily meant a standout on just punt and punt return team, which amplified just gunners and returners in a big way. Now, the new NFL kickoff heavily incentivizes every return to be a live play. That puts in 10+ more plays into real action again, and one that requires a defined skill set that's huge. So that's another good point of this too, is the value of special teams. We know that special teams just hasn't really been regarded as massively valuable. We had to, you know, beg the Green Bay Packers to hire a coach that was, you know, worthy of any kind of a paycheck to pay somebody. And you know, we also had to accept the fact once we hired that guy that, you know, unfortunately, I'm sorry to tell you, starters are going to have to be out there. Like, oh, shoot. I mean, it was always a thing, but it's got to be more of a thing. Now, the value of special teams is much higher because everybody's returning all the time. If everybody just starts at the 25 for the most part, what good is a kick returner or anybody else in that phase of the game? You got 11 guys out there, right? Do any of those 11 actually matter that much if there's really no play happening? How much more valuable is it if every play matters? Every kickoff matters. Every kickoff has a positive or negative result. It says, don't be surprised if teams adjust how many at each position they carry. Carrying a fifth tight end, a 78th eighth linebacker, what? A 78th eighth linebackers, and or a fifth, sixth safety may be commonplace. I'm guessing that's seventh, eighth. Fifth tight end, a seventh or eighth linebacker, or a fifth or sixth safety may be commonplace. Now, again, all the areas that we need people. You say, we have two good tight ends, but we don't have a lot of depth at tight end. We need tight ends, linebackers, safeties, running backs. These are all the positions that are going to matter a lot. And then at number four, finally, it says learning curve. At the XFL 2020 edition, we felt confident we'd see not only a lot of returners, as we and now the NFL rule heavily incentivize a play happening, but a lot of big plays. But it took time for our coaches and players to be comfortable and creative, as well as address the reduced space initially. The old NFL kickoff had big lanes initially that closed up with good coverage. This new kickoff will have more narrow lanes, but a much greater opportunity to turn those lanes into big plays and touchdowns. It may just take until the second half of the NFL season for it to happen. But when it does, don't be surprised if we see a major uptick in return touchdowns. Man, you're getting me excited now. Happy to speak more and answer questions about the new NFL kickoff, other lessons from the XFL iteration and use, especially as it relates to scouting and roster construction. Can't wait to feature it at the Shrine Bowl this year, too, it says. Oh, one important thing I forgot to mention as far as the rules go. The other way that this is incentivized for the kicker to kick it right to the returner is, and for the returner to return it, if the kicker doesn't return it, that is to say, let's say it hits at the 5-yard line and goes into the end zone. If you go back there and take a knee, which you can do, you get the ball at the 20-yard line. Not great. If the kicker kicks it into the end zone, you get it at the 30-yard line. Not something the kicking team wants either. But yeah, so that's the new kickoff rules that'll be in effect. It'll be interesting to see how things, I mean, you gotta, the more pessimistic side of me thinks that this could be, I don't want to say uniquely a negative for the Packers, but somewhat of a negative for the Packers, because they kind of built in a direction as everybody did, but they started to invest heavily in this, or the old version of special teams. Rich Bisaccia has a lot of experience. That's why we went out and got him. It's not necessarily that he's a great forward thinker. He might be, I don't know. But he has a lot of experience with the old way of doing stuff. We just paid Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon is a great returner in the old way of doing things. He may not be a very good kick returner in the future. Rich Bisaccia may not be worth the money we're paying him for what's going on in the future. We need creative, forward-thinking people. We're all kind of starting at ground zero, and the question is, who's going to be able to figure this out and start building in the direction of a successful special teams? Either way, I'm kind of excited to see how it all turns out. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll get into some news and notes, and then we'll get out of here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, so some news. The Packers did sign a kicker. They signed Greg Joseph, kicker formerly of the Minnesota Vikings. So this was kind of a known thing. Packers are going to bring in some guys, veterans and probably otherwise, to compete for the kicking job. Greg Joseph is 29 going on 30 years old. He was with Cleveland in 2018. So actually he was first picked up by Miami in 2018. That was the quote-unquote draft team, although he was an undrafted free agent. He didn't make the team. He ended up in Cleveland. He had a 42 PFF grade. He made 25 of 29 extra points, which is 86%. It was 17 of 20 field goals. Next year in 2019, he went to Tennessee. That was his best year, 100% of his extra points, and 1 of 1 for field goals. Kind of weird to have 18 extra point opportunities and just one field goal. Was he just the extra point guy? Then he was in Minnesota for 3 years. His grades were 58, 61, 64. Extra point percentage was 90, 88, and 95. Field goal percentages were 87, 79, and 80. For his career, his extra points are 91%. His field goals are 83%. He is 100% in the 0 to 19 range, 100% in the 20 to 29 range, 97% in the 30 to 39 range, 73% in the 40 to 49 range, and 57%, 16 of 28 in the 50-plus yard range. And then finally, the NFL owners meeting. We've got a couple quotes and comments from Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and Mark Murphy. From Brian Gutekunst, kind of talked about it on Derailed, a lot of gobbledygook, hodgepodge, fake words. But he talked about, you know, Aaron Jones and whatnot. I thought the one interesting thing about that is that the question was asked to Brian Gutekunst. You know, you said you really wanted him to stay. It was critical, all that stuff. When did that change? And Gutekunst mentioned that it was, you know, during the process, you know, we wanted him to take a pay cut, et cetera, et cetera. I just thought it was interesting because it felt like, to me, it was odd because you make a statement essentially saying that you want him back pretty much, you know, I don't want to say at all costs, but you kind of lay it out that way, how critical he is to the team. I didn't really see that as changing. I kind of just saw it as lying, I guess. But it is kind of an interesting question when you think about it in those terms. In other words, we did feel that way and then something changed. And I did find it kind of interesting just to think about that in terms of, you know, at one point they did feel like we got to bring him back at all costs, or I keep saying that, but it's very important that we bring him back to the team. And then through the process of him not being willing to negotiate and then probably having Josh Jacobs just hang in there, there came sort of a change of heart from the Packers where it's like, actually, you know what? Never mind. He talked about the unique availability of Xavier McKinney, which I agree with entirely. And you know, I just think it's unbelievable. To me, it's like, The Packers don't really participate much in free agency, and I think largely that has to do with the lack of value. You're overpaying for guys that are way too old. If you have a very rare opportunity to get a premier player at whatever position at a very young age that could essentially act as a great draft pick, like the only thing you're missing is you didn't catch him on their rookie deal. Like, aw shucks, who gives a crap? You mean I can just take him and I could just pay him as though I drafted him and he's been here the whole time? And the fact that the Packers are the ones that were able to get in on that, it's like other teams, like they look at it as being equal. Like Xavier McKinney is worth this much, partially because of his age. This guy's worth this much. It's a little bit reduced. Let's just go over here. I'm not going to overpay. The Packers are like, I'm not going to even pay you what you think you're worth at your age because I'm just not interested. This guy I will happily overpay. And by overpay, I mean like, you know, whatever the market is, I'll pay a little bit over that to make sure that you end up on this team. It's such a rare and incredible thing to be able to acquire those types of players. And there were, you know, two that were available. A running back that was one of the best in football that is young relatively that was available. And Xavier McKinney, 24 years old, one of the best safeties in the game. And the Packers walk away with both of them. Like, what are you guys doing out there? Doesn't everybody want these guys more so than the others? And it's like, yeah, not really. It just comes down to the price, I guess. I'll take the 32-year-old if it's a good enough deal. And Packers like, I don't want that guy. Screw that guy. Matt LaFleur mostly talked about the running backs, A.J. Dillon, and sort of the vision for him in just trying to keep guys healthy and keep guys fresh. But especially talked about Josh Jacobs and how excited he was about him and the different ways that they could possibly use him. He said, you know, obviously he pointed out the things that we all know where he is just this big guy. He said he mentioned, as I said, we can put a bigger load on his back, calm down. He can carry the ball more. We don't have to limit his snaps quite as much as we did with Aaron Jones, which I'm sure in and of itself is appealing. But he also talks about beyond the durability is just how big of a power back he is and how hard to bring down he is and, you know, how appealing that part of it is. But also said he really thinks he's talented as a receiver and was massively underused. And the Packers are looking at it going, hey, we do a bunch of stuff with our running backs. I watched him run these things. He's very good at it. So we're going to, you know, put more of that on his shoulders. And so I'm super excited. I'm excited that Matt LaFleur is excited. I mean, obviously he was. The Packers wouldn't have made the move if they weren't excited about it. Same with Xavier McKinney. It's just a matter of kind of learning slowly over the period of time, like we have with McKinney somewhat, what it is that we're looking to do and how this person helps us with that. But I think the most exciting thing is that Mark Murphy apparently made it clear to local reporters that the league is trying to decide who's going to play the Eagles in Brazil. And somebody had mentioned, I think it's the Good Morning and Monday Morning Quarterback guy or whatever, I don't know. Somebody had said he thinks it's the Browns. And it still may be, and it probably will be. But according to Murphy, it's between the Packers and the Browns. Now, it's probably going, you know, again, if somebody's looking into it and they're thinking that, you know, it's the Browns and we come down to the final two and the Browns are one of them, then there you go. But there's a part of me that has to think, like, the Browns maybe were, for whatever stupid reason, the team that the NFL wanted to send. Terrible decision. And somebody got in their ear and was like, bro, the Packers make a lot of sense. Like, that's the most supported team in Brazil is the Packers. You know, I mean, we're missing a great opportunity. I'm hoping somebody, I doubt it was Mark Murphy, because I don't think the Packers like to travel. But somebody must have got in their ear and said something. And I'm hoping that's the case. And I'm hoping the Packers win that out. I know we're kind of split on that. A lot of fans are like, no, I don't want to travel. I don't want the disadvantage of it. I don't know, man. I love it. I think it's cool. I think we got a lot of Packer fans in Brazil. I'd love for them to be able to see the team. And I think it'd be a great way for the franchise to grow. I would love to see the Packers as the quote-unquote away team and just a stadium filled with Packer fans. Just green and gold everywhere. For no other reason, people are just wearing Brazilian t-shirts, you know, but it still looks like Packers colors. So it's just a sea of green and gold. Seeing cheese hats out there, man, that would be amazing. And the NFL will take care of them. They'll get a bye week after that or something, so they get their rest. It'll be fine. But fingers crossed, man, it's down to two, and the Packers are in contention, according to Mark Murphy. So I am excited, and I am hopeful. But anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. You guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.